Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. It's all free. It's all there for you. The only thing we ask you to pay for are the books. When you buy a book, we like for you to pay for those. We appreciate it very much. In fact, you can't get them if you don't pay for them. But anyway, we like it when you go to our site and use it to your advantage. And don't forget to check out our blog, which you can subscribe to or just use. And if you want the newsletter, though, you got to subscribe to that, and we'll send it to you by email on Sunday afternoon to get you ready for the week ahead. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's our good friend. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Hello.
It's good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
Joan, just quickly, if we could, just touch on the news of the hour, and that's the fact that Scotland Yard, probably with quite a bit of help from other organizations internationally, has thwarted a terrorist plot to blow up several, meaning more than two, in several in here means more than two or three airplanes over the Atlantic.
Right. Yeah, they were trying to smuggle bombs onto planes and blow them up in midair. That's I don't know much more than that, but it sounded as if they had gotten through security. And I don't know which airport in England, but that sounds pretty.
And when you say bombs,
I heard. I heard the word bomb. That's
I know, and I did too. But more, and of course that is the generic way to say it. But what we know is that these people have different ways of making those bombs, and through different explosives. And it sounds like, based on some of the information we're getting, that they may have been planning to use some kind of liquid or pliable explosives like plastic or maybe nitroglycerin or something like that. But yeah. The thing is, you know what we have to realize, Joan, is that a commercial airliner flying at altitude is like a little pressure cooker.
Mm.
You know when you cook, you remember when your mother used a pressure cooker to cook green beans or chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
These airliners are pressurized to give you an 8,000-foot cabin, not a 33,000-foot cabin.
Right.
And so all the bomb has to do is be big enough to poke a little teeny tiny pinhole through the cabin walls. Through the air walls of the airplane, and then that pressure of the airplane completes the explosion, if you see what I mean. That's
wow.
All they've got to do is breach it. So it doesn't take – that's the reason the guy with the shoe bomb was so dangerous.
Yeah.
It doesn't take – all he's got to do is put his foot over by the skin of the aircraft.
Yeah.
And just somehow get a little bitty place through that, weaken that hull. And it makes the explosion possible. And of course, when that happens, then you got a big mess. And so, so it doesn't take a lot of stuff. And Joan, I guess the thing that I get from all this is that when you have people who don't have no regard for their own life, when you got people who have no regard for innocent people, these terrorists, we can't be complacent or passive about these people, can we?
Oh, no question about that.
Yeah, we've got to figure out a way to go after these people, how would you negotiate with a group like that, Joan?
Well, that's one of the problems. I don't think we've figured that out yet.
Yeah,
because there does seem to be no negotiation, and because I don't know what leverage you have.
No, it was interesting to what a general said. This week, one of our generals said that these people don't even love their own children enough to want them to grow up in a world that's peaceful.
Yeah.
Now, when you got folks like that,
the case. Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard somebody else say that they hate Israel more than they love their own children.
Yeah.
Or the West or whatever. And that's so. Anyway, it's a tough thing. And just to bring everybody, just to have a quick little discussion of the current events, Joan. I you got any more thoughts about that?
Well, just I think folks better be prepared for even tighter security. I know that's I've brought it down to kind of the practical level and not the philosophical level. But
you're right.
If these folks can get this stuff through, you remember what happened after the shoe bomber? We all had to take off our shoes.
And so, still do. Yeah.
And still do. So I don't think anybody's going to be able to bring any liquids on a plane anymore.
Right. Right. Well, I just hope they don't ever try to bring in an underwear bomb, Joan. I'm really worried about that part.
Yeah. I think it should be.
Okay, Joan. Let's move over and talk about the global economy. You guys lead with that this time, and you say that the risks to global growth are mounting. The risks are mounting, and you've got a table here to prove it, Joan.
That's right. And, you know, it's kind of a good news, bad news lead here, because we do say that risks to global growth are mounting, but we also say that it's not, things aren't going to fall apart, that the world economy is going to pull through.
Right. But you predict that the Eurozone is going to get back into below the 2% growth rate next year. That's not good for them.
Right.
I mean, the U.S., you say the U.S. is going to go to, you got us going down, what, down to under 3% is what you're predicting for 2007.
For 2007, right.
For 7,
right.
07.
Which isn't too bad.
Which is not too bad. And, of course, there's plenty of time to no, that's not bad at all. It may seem like a real slowdown for us, but that's not bad at all. That's actually pretty healthy if we can sustain that.
Right.
But still, the Eurozone going from 2.2 currently to 1.8, that's not going to be good for anybody. What is the purpose? What is the cause of all this slowdown, Joan?
Well, we're saying that economic bases are broadening, and so you've got so many different competitors for goods and services now, that you've got all these new Asian, you know, China, India, and then South America, Brazil there. You know, we're in competition with a lot more companies.
Right.
Countries.
Well, like India, you know, India's growing at 7.5% in 06. China's growing at over 10%.
Right.
You know, we were aghast when we saw that they were growing at 9%, Joan. And now they're over 10%. And I heard somebody the other day said, it wasn't Kiplinger, it was another organization, called China's growth at 11%.
Jeez.
And so what that's doing is that's sucking up the raw materials, as you guys point out here.
But, you know, even 9%, that's, I mean, remember China used to be growing at, I don't know, 70 or 80%?
Yeah.
At least this sounds a little bit more within the realm of normal.
Of recent. It's a pace we can at least comprehend, right?
Right.
We may not like it. At least we can comprehend it, but the other one, yeah. not so much. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors. And we'll be right back. Don't go away.
You don't know.
In order to get things really moving quicker, you'd have to see interest rates drop, which we don't expect that to happen.
Exactly. And also exports are going to slow a little bit. We got into a pretty good level of 12%, but we're down to
9%. Which we call steamy.
Right, exactly. And then, but now down to 9%, which won't be good for the manufacturing. However, and this in the same, almost the same paragraph, you say that the dollar is going to continue to decline. Joan, isn't that good for manufacturing, for U.S. manufacturing?
Well, give me
and
a
export,
second. I have
exports?
To do my little calculations in my head here because I'm the currency expert.
Yeah, you're the currency expert. Well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, if the dollar is going to decline against the yen. And they're in other currencies, then typically that's good for our exports, isn't it? So you know, it sounds to me like if that's not counterintuitive, it's bad news.
Oh, that's true. And it, you know, either way the dollar goes, it's good or bad for somebody. It's always a double-edged sword.
Right. Let's move over to page two and get into the economy, which first thing you guys talk about is the jobs figures and
right.
My previous guest, Sam Norwood, gave us the report that he, as you may know, Joan, he and his organization poll about 500 professional CFOs, chief financial officers, and chief information officers around the country who are their partners who are running businesses. They're actually out there running small to medium businesses.
Yeah.
And they report back to them on what they see, and what he saw in terms of the jobs figures was a negative. He sees hiring being on the decrease. with the report. Now, that's for the current month or the next 60 days. So you guys point out that the jobs figure actually would contribute to the interest rates at the Fed, and I think that's exactly what happened, Joan.
Right, and as I'm sure your listeners know, that the Fed was in the news for what it did not do, which was it did not raise rates for what would have been, I guess, the 18th straight time?
Yes, they did it 17 straight times before.
Which is over about an 18-month period, I guess?
Which is
about a two-year period.
Yeah, it'd been a little more than 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, which is preposterous to me, Joan. I mean, you know, the Fed, of course, they've got a tough job, Joan. Everything that they do is out of fear, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Every action they take is out of fear because they've raised rates 17 times in a row for fear that inflation was going to be would take hold and would become rampant. They lowered rates a dozen times prior to that for fear that the economy would go into a recession and for fear that it wouldn't come out of a recession and for the fear of depression of deflation.
Right. But you kind of have to. I was reading something this week, and I wish I could remember where, talking about, you know, does the Fed really know what it's doing anymore? Because obviously it keeps raising rates, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the economy as it is expecting to do. So what other forces are going on that it's not taking into account?
Steve Forbes says, and the Wall Street Journal says, that it's because of the money supply. Both of those that individual and those that group, the journal and Steve say, Steve has said this on the show before, that the problem is because of their liberal money supply. They've made too much money available, and that's the problem. And the journal this week said, Joan, that's the reason. But the Fed is not focusing on money supply; they're focusing on what they're concerned is a resurrection of the Phillips curve, which is where we watch unemployment. And as long as unemployment is not too low, then maybe the economy is okay. In other words, the Fed still believes, and this is a 50-year-old theory, folks, and the world has changed a lot in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Joan, the Phillips curve basically says that it ties economic strength to employment, and that if we have high employment, then therefore we must be overheating the economy. And then the reverse is true. Whereas you and I both know, Joan, that in the 21st century, employment is not as much of a direct indicator of the economy.
Right. Exactly.
But there was a really good op-ed in the journal yesterday, Joan, about this on the editorial side, the left side of the page there, about this, and that they're concerned that maybe the people in the Fed are becoming, you know, they're getting connected to the Phillips curve theory again.
Yeah.
And I just think that's I agree with the journal. That's a 20th century belief that really never was all that true.
Right.
But anyway, so.
Yeah, but these are the guys that are running our money supply.
That's
so
right.
I guess we have to
right.
be a little worried.
Well, why, you know, I'm not smart enough to understand the money supply issue, Joan, but I think your point is the good one today, and that is that, you know, they keep raising rates, but, you know, nothing was happening. So you'd think that they'd look around and say, well, maybe we should turn another dial somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Which
exactly.
is what Steve Forbes said, which is, hey, guys, weaken the money supply, tighten the money supply up a little bit, use another blunt instrument, not just interest rates.
Right.
And higher interest rates is really hurting small businesses right now, and I'm kind of aggravated at the Fed right now.
Yeah.
It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. Here's Jerry and the Pacemakers to take us out.
Your heart may be broken.
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, back to the U.S. economy for a minute. The U.S. auto manufacturers are still having their problems, aren't they?
Boy, that's true. We're saying that their sales are even worse than July figures are showing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just barely outselling foreign brands. And the gap is closing between the U.S. automakers and the foreigners.
Well, and the foreign brands, most of the cars made by the foreign brands sold in America are built in America.
Right. Well,
they're only
true.
Foreign. They're yeah. only. Let me put it this way: what's the difference? You know, there's only a small difference between Toyota and Chrysler, right?
Yes.
Because Chrysler is owned in part is by a German company.
Right.
Toyota doesn't have an American partner. I mean, that's the only difference in the connection, because Toyotas are made in the United States, many of them are, and you know, Chrysler is made in the United States, but they're foreign owned as well. And so, you know, people aren't there's a blurring of the lines between what's American and what's not American.
That's right.
And then you've got the energy situation. The American car companies made so much money with their SUVs over the last 15 years.
Well, that's the problem. Everything's turned on its head now,
and
I guess SUV sales are in the toilet, so they have to kind of reinvent themselves again, I guess.
They don't make a lot of money on the economy cars, but the SUVs, they made a lot of money on them for over 15 years, didn't they?
Right, right.
I mean, that was Ford. That was Ford's bread and butter, and GM's too, but I think the most successful of all the SUVs was the Ford Explorer. And so they got problems. GM is shopping around for partners, aren't they, around the world?
That's right. And yeah, that's been in the news quite a lot lately. And
Ford's looking to divest.
See what happens there.
And Ford's looking to divest of some of their units, and so it's just
interesting. And Ford wants to partner too, we think.
Well, you know, I predicted, Joan, if you remember, I predicted in December for 2006 that one of the U.S. car manufacturers would go bankrupt in 2006, and so they still only got about 4.5 months to go, so they better hurry. But and I said it would probably be GM, and I might not have said that, Joan, if I had known at that time how much cash GM has. They have a lot of cash, and that's the only reason why they're not already bankrupt. Because
right,
what did they?
Yeah.
How many billions did they lose last quarter, Joan? GM?
Oh gosh, I don't remember.
I've forgotten. It was 10 billion? I've forgotten. I should have said
that. And they've done a lot to restructure benefits, too, so that may help them in the long term.
Absolutely. But anyway, that's not good for the overall economy. But the thing about it, Joan, is that for a long time, as you know, the U.S. economy relied on the U.S. auto manufacturing.
Right.
That was as big almost as construction, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
As the car industry went, so went the economy, typically.
Yeah. Yeah,
and construction too. Those two primarily, but that's not that way anymore. But in a way, Joan, it's a good thing if you think about it. I mean, this country doesn't need to be dependent upon two or three big industries.
Right.
We need to
but
have it spread around. It has been, but it's not as much anymore.
Right.
Joan, let's move on down. And home remodeling looks less buoyant than it did a few months ago. That's what you guys say.
Well, that's because we're wrapping up work on our house. I mean, we've propped up the home remodeling industry single-handedly.
You and your hubby have single-handedly propped up the home remodeling industry.
Right.
Well, you know, Jonah, a lot of this, as you know, a lot of home remodeling was done because of equity loans.
Exactly.
Second mortgages, taking out equity loans, and using that money to build a room on or whatever they were doing. Well, now that long-term rates and equity loans are more expensive than they were, people are doing less of that.
Right. And people also, I think, a lot of people were thinking, well, housing market was getting so expensive, people were having trouble finding another house, so they fixed up the house they were in, or maybe they decided to fix it up and sell it and make a big profit in the hot market. And a lot of areas around the country aren't so hot anymore.
Well, and I think this is one of the areas that the Fed was trying to target with their interest rates. Trying to get the construction and the home buying and building industry to cool off just a little bit, John, because as you know, that's where a lot of the consumer spending has come from in the last 6 or 7 or 8 years, isn't it?
Right, right.
So they're trying to get that cooled off a little bit, and And I think they may have done that. They may have accomplished that. Quick break. We're going to be right back. We've got more to talk about. In fact, when we come back, we're going to talk about the new wage base for Social Security right after these messages and a lot more good stuff. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and as you know, folks, I like telling you about their website and their publications because I think they're important. They've benefited me now for a long time. I've been reading the Kiplinger Letter. Joan, I've probably been reading the Kiplinger Letter off and on at least since the early 70s.
So not quite a charter subscriber,
no,
but close to it.
I don't go all the way back to 1923 when the first one came out. But seriously, I remember seeing them when I was sitting in when I was selling and going into offices and the plants. I was selling on the road back in the 70s. The Kiplinger Letter was often part of the reading material in the waiting room.
Wow.
And it looked very much like today, except not as many diagrams, but it was very much like today, and it was no color either, by the way. There was no color. But I remember it way back then. And folks, it's a very important document. It's part of Americana, as far as I'm concerned, and certainly a unique publication in financial and business publishing. And the Kiplinger Letter is weekly, as you know, and then they've got three biweekly letters, Joan. You got the California Letter, the Tax Letter, and the Agriculture Letter, but you got other stuff too, don't you?
That's right. Well, we've got a magazine called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah, and that's on the newsstand. It's also available by subscription, as are the letters. And by the way, the other three I mentioned, the California Tax and Agriculture Letters, those three are biweekly. They come every other week. Kiplinger.com is where you can subscribe. What about a phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And they want to make sure that you are happy with your subscription so much that they're willing to give you a 30-day free trial. So try it out and tell them I sent you. Joan, let's move over and talk about taxes. That's an area that I know you're very familiar with. What's any news there?
Well, I think your listeners need to know that when the IRS is going after, you know, one of the IRS's big, campaigns has been against executive compensation problems in companies.
Mm-hmm.
But now what they're doing is when they go in and look at, you know, some of these perks and things that executives are getting.
Like, the jet
tax
that you have at Kiplinger there?
Please, I don't want the IRS to hear about that. They're also going a little deeper and going into what's going on with the rank and file. And I think that's something that is surprising people a little bit. In other words, you know, it's one thing for an executive to get a fancy benefit and not pay tax on it, but now they're looking at, you know, let's say you, the employee, got a company cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you made personal calls on that cell phone, then part of that cell phone has to be charged to you as a benefit that you have to pay tax on. Now, how you calculate that, I don't know.
And who are the police officers who are going to take care of that? I mean, who are the cell phone police that they're going to hire to manage that? Who's going to do? I mean, the IRS. I mean, how are they going to keep up with that? I mean,
well, they're just going to start trying to. Well, it's going to be very hit or miss. That's the problem.
They're getting over into the weeds, and I can see them just saying, okay, let's print this, let's get this out there. We're never going to do it. Let's just scare the bejeebers out of them, and maybe we'll get most of them to behave themselves.
Yeah.
But it also includes things like country club memberships. Joan, you're going to have to watch out for that.
Oh, right, yes. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's company cars, any educational assistance that the company provided you, and even things that I'm concerned about, also prizes and awards.
Right, exactly. All right, what about FICA, the FICA wages base?
I actually have some good news here.
Yeah.
The index that you put into the formula to set the FICA wage base didn't rise as much as people thought.
So it did rise, just not as much. That's the good news, Joan?
Right, well... The wage base will be $98,100, and I don't have what the earlier estimate was, but I know it was higher than that.
When I started,
take what you can get, Jim.
When I started paying into Social Security, lo, those many decades ago, Joan, the number, the base number was somewhere around $7,000.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's been a while ago, folks, but not that long ago. I mean, we've come a long way in the last however many. I quit thinking of that life of my career now in terms of years. It's now in decades. Labor statistics, Joan. Let's go back over there. And labor is trying to get united again, but I don't think it's going to work. What do you think?
Well, you know, they are doing the best they can. It's just that the problem is, when you look at the statistics, the percentage of the labor force that's in labor unions continues to drop. So, I mean, I can see why they're consolidating and trying to team up, because there's a little more strength when they're together, but I don't think it's a tremendous amount.
I'm trying to imagine what it must have been like watching dinosaurs become extinct, Joan. And
yeah.
The best example, if that's something you want to watch, folks, watch the labor unions. They're dinosaurs. There is very little purpose. They have very little purpose in the 21st century global economy, and they're, you know, if you live, if most people alive right now, at least 50 or younger, or 60 or younger, I'm going to say, if you live to a ripe old age, you'll live to see the end of unions, in my opinion, Joan, in this country.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe not the teachers' unions. Maybe not the federal, the government unions,
mm-hmm.
although that would be a good thing to me, too, to see all those go away. But as far as the trade unions, I think those are just a dinosaur. They're Tyrannosaurus Rexes and Brontosauri waiting to become extinct. And maybe even a pterodactyl in there, too. Quick break. It's 10 till. We're going to come right back and talk about the tech industry and a little bit about financial services, maybe a little bit about energy. And maybe we'll check on Mr. Castro's health. 10 till. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. And she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. That's Kiplinger.com. Joan, technology, you guys report that personal computers bargains abound. Are they abounding, or are they going to abound?
Well, it sounds like they're starting to abound.
I think they're already there.
Prices are dropping fast, just in time for back to school sales, which sounds like right now, right this minute.
I'm getting lots of queries by email from companies, including lots of different companies to buy computers, and they are coming down. And have you noticed, Joan? Have you read the recent reports about the chip companies, Intel and AMD, for example? Especially Intel, it seems. But probably AMD too, but on a lesser degree, to a lesser degree, are having what some people are calling a chip glut. They've got more, they overbuilt for the demand that has apparently dropped.
Now, what does that mean for the average person?
That means what we're talking about, that the price, that the personal computer prices are coming down. I mean, people don't realize that the processor in a computer is a pretty good part of the cost of the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you look at the components individually, those prices have come down quite a bit. But and the plastic case is a plastic case, but the chips are expensive. That's how these guys have made so much money. But apparently, there's a glut of I don't know how many there are out there. But that's one thing. Plus the fact that people are doing. They're buying their technology in different ways now, not just on laptops.
Right.
Desktops. I'm sorry, not desktops. Laptops are becoming more and more used by people more and more. I make my
laptops
living
below $500. That's pretty good.
I make my living on a laptop. That's my computer.
Right.
In and out of my office. Couldn't do without it. Don't want to do without it.
And you've got, is yours wireless?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh. I mean, this, I have the ability to be wired. Sometimes I'm wired, but okay. As a general rule, I'm
sometimes
wireless.
Sometimes you're wired, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. Exactly.
Sorry.
Mike, you couldn't resist that one, could they? Could you?
No, that was too easy.
Okay, Joan, let's move over and talk about the fuel situation.
Oh, do we
on page
to?
4. Yeah, I'm afraid
I
so.
Really don't want
hopes for winter fuel, for cheaper winter fuel are falling.
Right.
What's going on, Joan?
Well, natural gas, which I thought would be plentiful this winter, apparently is not going to be because the stocks are being depleted because of this heat wave we've been having.
Mm-hmm.
So that means also higher rates on electricity. Sorry.
You're not using, well, yeah, you're not using a natural gas to cool your homes, but the utilities are using natural gas to make electricity.
Right.
And that's sucking a lot of this out. And of course, you got the home heating oil situation, which people, especially in the Northeast, use a lot of heating oil.
Yes.
That's apparently a little bit healthier, right?
But see, in my area of the country, it's mostly natural gas or electricity. There's very few oil burners around here.
Right.
I know the Northeast, it's very important, but I'm
not
sure where
else. In the New
England
area, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They use a lot of that.
Right.
But no, it's the news is not good. Of course, gasoline. Look what's happened to gasoline, John, especially with the increased tension in the Middle East.
Well, not just that, but you had the problem in Prudhoe in Alaska, where BP wasn't keeping good maintenance on its pipeline, and now they've got a leak that's going to take a long time to fix.
You know,
to be shut down.
That's the maddest I've been at oil companies.
They should be in a lot of trouble for that.
They ought to be. They really ought to be. I mean, the idea that this is what they do for a living. This is their.
Yeah.
They have people who take care of the corrosion. They know that these things corrode. They got corrosion experts, Joan. They pay millions of dollars a year payroll to just corrosion experts, and the idea that these guys would be making the money that they're making, and then they have this to happen. It's unexcusable.
No excuse for it.
It's inexcusable. No question about it. Joan, let's move quickly to Castro. Is he Mr. Castro is not well.
We don't know a whole lot about it, but we know he's had some kind of operation, and we know that he's very, very old, so we think that his rule is coming to an end.
He's around 80. He's got a 75-year-old brother named Raul, who's he's currently turned over the country to.
Right.
And apparently, you know, compared to Raul, Castro is Mr. Personality.
Really?
That's what I've been told. So we may be going from bad to worse if we lose Fidel and get Raul. So we'll have to see how that goes. But the folks, the Cuban Americans are excited about the potential, and I hope their excitement comes to reality. Hey, thank you, Joan, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.